Turn with me in your scriptures, John chapter 10. Okay. John chapter 10, if you're there. John chapter 10, verse 10. Our topic this morning is on prosperity. We're going to talk about prospering. And you know, 3 John 2 says, God says, I wish above all things that you may prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. And so he's talking about the soul. He's talking about the mindset has to change about provision, what God has provided for us. God wants us all to have more than enough. He doesn't want people to lack in anything. We'll talk about Psalm 23 in a moment. The first psalm, first verse of Psalm 23 said, I shall not lack. Those who fear the Lord shall no lack good thing. That's what it says, and I believe it was Psalm, I think, 37 or somewhere there. Of course, God told Joshua, if you follow my word, put them into operation, you will make your way prosperous. So God is not against us to prosper in our lives. Every year at Christmas time, he says, and have a prosperous new year. Anybody ever said that? Or you heard that? Anybody hear that somewhere? Yeah. Have a prosperous new year. You know, if they believed and didn't believe in prosperity, I guess you can't say that. He said, have a really broke year. I hope you get, or have a really poor year. That's good, eh? Those are good introductions. And it's not even on my notes yet. Thank God. Well, our topic is prosperity. The title of our message is The God of Abundance. He's not the God of little, the God of just not enough. John 10:10, the King James. We'll look at other versions, perhaps. Jesus talking, he's talking to his disciples. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, this is what the enemy has come to do. This is his MO, modus operandi. This is his agenda for you. Number one, he says, he comes to steal. If anybody is stealing something, it's rooted in the devil. So we don't want any stealers or people who steal in here, right? You don't want to leave your shoes out there and all of a sudden now, you know, some guy named Don took them. You thank God for, you thank God for people wanting to be clothed. But so the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy your life. That's what he wants to do. Somebody sent me a message this morning. He says, well, you know, he's talking to the people of the world. Well, where are you living? Well, I understand what he's talking about, but, you know, he's already got them. And he, you know, he's, you guys okay this morning? Because you get looking at me like a new gate here. Say, I love you, Pastor. I'm wide awake. I'm wide awake, say, praise God. Some of you, you don't even move your lips. You just... Praise God. All right. Let's start that again. Erase the tape. We'll start over again. John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. A superficial reading of that, you're not going to get all the rich thoughts behind it. You know, you have to look at it, meditate on it. Everybody stand up for a second. We're going to pray. Praise God. Amen. We're going to believe together wherever we are. Father, we want to thank you this morning. Raise your hand towards heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation knowledge of the Word of God that you want to give us today by the Holy Spirit. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to us the message that you want to give us this morning regarding this idea of you want us to have more than enough. We give you praise for everything that happens in advance because you give us prosperity and you bless us with all things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I propose this idea, and then of course from the Bible, God is an excessive God. God is excessive. You know, he goes overboard with blessing us with everything. He does, he's prepared a lot of stuff. And I think we get some idea from our religious mindset that if we can just get God to bless us, if I can just God get, you know, pray hard enough and be good enough that God's going to bless. No, he's already done it. He's already provided what we need in Jesus. As an introduction, I want to say Jesus is the head of the church and he came to give us abundant life. He said there in John 10:10, I am come, the reason I'm here is to give you abundant life, to give you life and give it more abundantly. Give you life, first of all, everlasting life, the natural life, but also to give this kind of life more, to give it more abundantly. The word life is everlasting life. Zoe, the God kind of life that God has. Zoe, you know, the God kind of, you know, it's life in God. It's life, the life of God. And when God gives us life, he wants to do it in such a way that it's beyond our understanding, beyond any human understanding, I might say. So he says that I've come to give you life, not just, you know, that you're born in this world. When someone is born again, he's more than just a forgiven person. When someone is born again, God changes that spirit immediately. Their life, he receives eternal life, and he has a brand new spirit. He is a new species, the Bible says, a new spiritual being that never existed before. So as a Christian, you're not just forgiven. You've been given new life. You have a new spirit, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ right now. You're righteous right now, even if you fail. You know, your body might have failed, your mind might have failed because it's not trained enough. So it fails. And sometimes people, the devil gets on them and they get on themselves when they fail. God has not given up on you. He's not given up on you. You give up on yourself and you evaluate yourself from your own mind and your own eyes. God sees you in Jesus. He sees who you are in Christ. And you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. That's who you are right now. You're not going to get any more righteous now than 1,000 years from now. You're righteous right now. There's not one thing you can do to make yourself righteous. Jesus already did that. 2 Corinthians 5:21 proves that. Many other scriptures say that right now you're righteous. You're justified. You've been made right with God. That's what it all means. Thank God. So Jesus, the head of the church, came to give us abundant life, and Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. God demonstrated his desire for us. His desire is to have abundant life. But what does that all mean? We're going to have to talk about that. And he wants to give us life more than enough. And his character, he's created, you know, and he wants to give us more than enough. His character reveals who he is. His ways reveals who he is. And when he created the world with many kinds of species and plantations and different kinds of things, you know. He didn't just make one kind of lake. About three fishes. There's many kinds of whales. There's all kinds of creatures. God is he's magnificent. He's wonderful. It's hard for us from our human brain to lift our hands and praise God. That's why we need the Holy Ghost to help us praise him. But we can thank him from what we know, what he's given us from life right now, and We can also pray him in advance and by faith, because he's going to do more than what you imagine. That's found in Ephesians 2, there 20, I believe it is. So, in the Gospels, he also demonstrated that he is still the God of more than enough when he multiplied the catch of fish on Peter's boat by, you know, when he borrowed Peter's boat, and they caught so much fish that they were struggling to stay afloat. And the Bible says the nets were breaking, that they were so full of fish, that boat there, and they were sinking. And you can tell that didn't God know that there's the net was too small and the boats were too small? That he was providing so much that he was, they were sinking. You see, God, you know, they were so, Peter was amazed, the Bible says. And the people that was with Peter was amazed. His workers. And also, the Bible says that the sons of Zebedee also were amazed when they saw this. And Peter was so, almost distressed. He said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Recognizing, we're talking here. We're not talking a normal person. This is God. This is the Son of God. He jumps in the water, I believe it was. Hiding. So I don't know. He felt that way, but the scriptures reveal that Jesus told Peter, from now on, you'll be not only, fishing for fish, you'll be a fisher of men. This reveals to us something about Jesus and his provision for ministry, for any one of us. God wants to go beyond what you ask him. Amen. He's going to ask, you give him something. He tells us, even Jesus said, if somebody asks you for a coat, go ahead and give him whatever extra. So, how can we do that unless God's helping us? So, the Bible says there that, religious conservatives, you know what that means? I'll explain that some other time. But people who are cheap, in other words, that are Christians. If you really want to know, people who think that God is cheap, that God doesn't want you to have anything. That's religious conservatism that tells you that, you just can't, you got to just try to get by and try, trick God at blessing you one or two times by praying hard. So it tells us, this religious mindset tells us we have to live in poverty, live on barely get along street. People who live on barely getting along street, they're not happy. They live right next door to their other neighbor, Those guys, they're Grumble Alley people. They're just grumbling all the time, right? Grumble Alley. You don't want to live near Grumble Alley. They're just mean, those guys. Are you doing okay this morning?
Yes.
I just check it, okay? Okay, praise God. Everybody say poverty mentality.
Poverty mentality.
I look at my own poverty mentality every once in a while. I have to check it out. Some of you got socks that have so many holes in it, you repaired it so many times, you can't go to Walmart to buy a 99-cent sock. Grandma used to keep every kind of plastic container, and just in case they might need it, the war might happen again. Right? You got so many margarine containers under your shelf, you can't put anything else in there. Right? You use that grease so many times, it's so dirty now, you don't know if it's grease or not. Right? Poverty mentality. Your shoes. You can only take those shoes so many times to the shoe repair guy. It's all synthetic stuff on it now. Well, I'm having fun this morning. So, what's your idea of Jesus and his will in your life and for your life? What's his will for you? Does he want you to live on Poverty Avenue or Poverty Street? not ever enjoying life, just barely getting enough to eat, you know, just a beat-up old car, just a rickety old thing, you know. Some, you know, we say in our area, we say res car. Res car, just, you know, what color is rust? I mean, that's a kind of funny, morbid joke, but that's what we say around our gang, you know. We just tease, you know, laugh, you know. We have to tie up, you know, with the snare wire or something like that, keep it together. And so we have this idea of that God is like that. Make sure you keep everything. Just eat all your food. You know, people are starving in Africa. And you can't throw any scraps. That's why you're getting sick all the time. Throw those out. Things are growing in there. They're eating each other inside the fridge. Amen. You got, you know, little animals with parkas on in there, living in there. They come out once in a while during supper, dinner, and lunch. For some people, more than that. Hallelujah. Anyway, so those religious mindset people tells us that, you know, poverty and holiness go together. If you're really holy, you'll be poor. You shouldn't want anything. The best things in life. They say things like, we don't want this world's goods. You know? You know, we have this funny thinking. You know, when I went to church, when I got born again, they told me, you know, I want to go to university college. They said, don't go to college. Jesus is coming anytime. I'm glad I didn't listen to those guys because I did finish university program. You know? And I knew enough that he's not going to come now. You guys are all crazy. But I didn't even have the Bible then. So they tell us we have to go through life just barely get along. You know, what kind of shepherd do we have in Jesus according to the 23rd Psalm? Look at it. That 23rd Psalm is speaking about you and I and our relationship with Jesus Christ, the head of the church. If you read this Psalm very carefully and study it, you're going to find out that he doesn't want you just barely get along in life. So we got to get our minds clear and start thinking scripturally and get our mind to a higher level. God says, my mind is higher than your mind. My thoughts are way higher than your thoughts. So we got to start thinking more and expect God to do more in our lives. And we need to begin to open some doors for ourselves even. So, you know, I quoted a scripture earlier, Joshua 1:8, you know, and 9. It says in there that Jesus said, you know, when you take and meditate my word, think about it. Then you're going to start doing it. If you meditate on it, you're going to start believing it. Then you will make your way prosperous. You're going to do that. Not God, by getting into his word. That's what he says in there. If you're having problems financially, why not get about 5 scriptures and look at those every day, every single day, all day long. Think about them and talk to yourself about it. You say, thank God he supplies every one of my needs, and thank God that money is coming from somebody to me because I'm giving it into God, and, you know, we have to believe that. So imagine the 23rd Psalm, in reference to 23rd Psalm, imagine Jesus or the shepherd walking down a dusty road, poverty-stricken, his clothes all tattered and hanging down, dirty. His sheep is all tattered and torn. They've never been sheared. They look all matted. What would you think of a shepherd whose sheep was skinny and dirty? Sick and broken and always like, they're just, you know, starving to death, emaciated, uncared for. So skinny, it's like they just hadn't eaten in months. And if you saw a shepherd walking down with sheep like that, you think, what kind of a shepherd is that anyway? Dude, that shepherd is not being fed or not feeding those little lambs, they're all starving. What kind of shepherd is that? They're beaten and torn and been attacked by dogs. And, you know, that's not a picture of Jesus. That's not what the 23rd Psalm tells us. He's what kind of God? The first verse said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means it says, I shall not lack. I shall not lack for anything. That's our confession. When we get up in the morning, we said, thank God, I'm not going to lack for finances or anything I'm going to want to do. If you ask me to come to Bible school, you'll provide the money, and I'm going to step in and do that. When my wife and I went to Bible school, we didn't have a dime. Not a dime. We said, we're going to Bible school. And yet we got people that can't find money. You don't have to have money. Just put the application in and trust God. And if you don't get it, we'll kick you out. if we have to, praise God. And we'll just believe with you. I went to Rhema. I didn't have a dime. We had to have so much money in the bank. $30,000 if you're married, a couple, $30,000 in the bank, or at least the bank has to guarantee that you might have. You could have $30,000. You might not have the money, but they could provide $30,000 for you. So I got a letter from the bank, and I took it to Rhema, and they said, okay, you're fine. Come on over. So we went to, we rented a vehicle. We didn't have that much money. We had no money. So we heard God. When you hear God to do something, he's going to provide you the energy, the strength, the time. Is that some people are not really concentrating on really what God called them to do. If either God called you or not, did he call you to succeed or fail? If he called you to something, he's going to make you succeed. Amen. Somebody said, we don't have any money. Some person that wanted to, come and they said, well, God will find a time. You have to be honest about it, whether or not you want to do this, because God will provide for you. You say, I don't have any energy. So when are you going to have energy? When? Is it in 2 years? We find people in ministry that try to go to ministry, pastors, that, they felt called all their life, and now they're 65, 70 years old, and they can't do what they were supposed to do for 25, 30 years ago. They're going to have to answer for that someday when God called them. They said, no, I can't make it. I'll wait till I'm 65 till I have full pension. I listened to Brother Hagin's tape the other day a couple of times. He said, bless God, I feel sorry for these people who have to, just push things off, and if God called them, and they don't never get anything done. And sometimes we're criticized because we step out and do stuff. We're not afraid. I'm not afraid to fail. If I miss God, I miss God. But I will never fail if God called me to do something. And you will never fail if God called you to do something. Psalm 41:10 is a good scripture. I'm just diverting my message a little bit. But it's the Psalm 41:10 says, fear thou not. What are you afraid of? God says, don't be afraid. Fear thou not. Isaiah 41:10. I am thy God. God is God. Amen. I will help you. I feel helpless. He said, I'll help you. I'll be your help. Amen. Well, I don't feel strong enough. He said, I'll strengthen you. I'll strengthen you. You don't feel strong? I'll strengthen you. Well, I just feel I can't make it. He said, no, I'll uphold you with my righteousness. I'm going to uphold you with my strong arm. Those scriptures helped me when I first got born again. That's one of the first scriptures I memorized, Isaiah 41:10, because I was afraid all the time. I used that fear to overcome whatever the devil tried to put on me. I had so many, like I said to you, when I got born again, I had so much tragedy in my life. I didn't know I had, what do you call this? They call something that when you have tragedy and you can't get over it. I wake up with hot, cold sweats and just running over bad things in my mind. I wake up at middle of the night sweating and just, terrified. My body would be just full of sweat, and I'd go to bed terrified, wake up in terror. I wake up in terror. And I, every day, I'm anxious every day. But God healed me. I'm telling you, he is the healer of broken hearts. I get broken hearts. Well, get healed. Get healed then. We have people that say stuff like that. I mean, they'll take all kinds of therapy, but they won't try Jesus. Jesus will heal you. I'm a living proof of that. Jesus healed me. Praise God. Amen. This message is brought to you by Roma Fisher Ministries. Amen? You know, we gotta. You know, we play church. We say, you know, we can't do this. We can't do that. No. You don't want to do it. God says, I'll make your way prosperous. You'll make your way prosperous. You will. By applying the word to your life, by meditating on the word, thinking about it, talking to yourself about it, tell yourself, this is what the Bible says. Devil comes to you and says, listen to what the Bible says. I'm strong. Well, you don't feel strong. No, I am. The Bible says I am strong. I'm not going to try. I am going to be. I'm acting strong right now, praise God. Amen? It has nothing to do with feelings. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now, you know, you wouldn't think much of a shepherd whose sheep is all tattered and torn, beaten up, and just dirty. And you wouldn't think so much of that shepherd. He's not caring for those people. But Jesus is our shepherd. The Bible says, Psalm 23:1, the first verse says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Bible says, I shall not lack any good thing. I won't lack for nothing. Strength, energy, money, whatever it is, I will not lack today. Get up in the morning and say, God, thank you. I will not lack for ideas. I'm not going to lack, you know, for business plans. I'm not going to lack for customers. Praise God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, you're going to bring things to me because you're my provider. Thank you, Lord. And we wouldn't think much of it, of a person that does that. Sheep looking so bad. Some people say we should live just, you know, around poverty area and just kind of just try to get along. Don't try to mess with your finances. Don't mess with your budget because you're on the budget there. You can't give God anything because you'll try to take everything. So that's the 23rd Psalm gives us a picture, a portrayal of us and Jesus today. He fills us with our every need and every desire we have. He will give you your desires, the desires of your heart. What you think you want, you know, sometimes you don't actually need. You don't need it. So, Jesus said, I've come to give life, to give it more abundantly. So, what is abundant life? According to John 10:10, John tells us that Jesus, his purpose is, and the devil's purpose, and he makes a contrast, the difference between his purpose and the devil's purpose towards the church. He says the thief comes not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Anything that's doing any number of those things is of the devil. He wants to steal your life. He wants to steal your relationships. He wants to steal your money. He wants to steal your kids. He wants to steal everything from you. And he said, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. This reveals that Jesus is the good shepherd. He wants you and I, because Jesus said in John 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. He wants you and I to have the abundant life. He gave us life. The scripture says he came to make the poor rich. Over in 2 Corinthians 8:9, he says, for I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. He substituted, he took our place so that we could become rich. That word rich doesn't necessarily mean you'll be a millionaire. The word rich means well provided for. The word rich means abundant life. Well provided for. Everybody say rich means abundance. He wants us to have abundance. Not penny pinching. So, for your sakes, he became poor. Our sake, he became poor. Rich means abundance, having more than enough. Paul says in Romans 8:32, he spared not his own son, that's God talking about Jesus, Paul mentioning this, but delivered him up for us all. There's not a person in here that God had you in mind regarding this verse of scripture. How shall he not also freely give us all things? All things. God wants to give you All things. Everything you need, everything you want, he wants to provide all things to you, whatever it is. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, for all things. Freely. So whenever someone asks you for something, you give it to them. Like your Honda. Thank God. See, I like that Honda. I'll go buy one. I'm just teasing, okay? I don't mean this in real life. A contrast between Jesus and the devil. He said, I come to give abundance, but the devil, he wants to take from you. He wants to steal from you. Jesus and the devil are two different people. I want to tell you that. Because people are thinking the devil, Jesus is like the devil. He's stealing stuff from you. He's trying to kill you early to get you to heaven. And you know, we got this crazy thinking over there because we just teaching like that. You know, God sent that sickness on you. You know, God sent that sickness on you. People say, no, he never sent no sickness on anybody. He's not killing everybody early. He said, I want everybody to have long life. Amen. Healthy life, not just barely getting along. A life that you can enjoy. When you're 85 years old or whatever, 90 years old, and you're suffering, that's not life. You know, you might as well go home, and people cry for their grandmother. They're 95 years old, and they're sick. They want to go home, and you're crying about it. They enjoyed their life. Just bless them and thank God. I'm not being morbid. I'm just saying, you know, people are selfish, and they want to keep people. And so we went one place there. We said, you know, hey, listen, you know, she wants to go home. Just let her go home. And that person, we said, we prayed. We let her go home. Well, I went to the ICU there. He said, yeah, okay, yeah, she's old. We'll let her go home. They let her go home. And just, you know, let go. So the devil wants to destroy. God wants to bless. God never took one thing ever from you all your life. All the stealing came from the devil. All the killing came from the devil. All the destruction came from the devil. But Jesus said, I'm come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Again, the word abundance means more than enough. It also means superabundance in quality and quantity. A better quality of life. It also literally, the word abundance literally means excessive. Excessive. God is excessive God. And we'll see this in Scripture. But some people tell us, they get upset about it, that when we talk about prosperity, God wants to bless us. You know, it's a detriment to think that way, that God doesn't want you to be blessed, and he's not doing very much to help you. When we think that God doesn't provide and that he doesn't want you to have much, it's a detriment to your life and to the ministry, to the work of God. You know, it costs money to get the gospel out. Ask Robbie. It costs a lot of money to have a store. It takes money to advertise even. It takes money to have, 30 men or 36 men and feed them every day, put them in a house. And that house costs money to repair a house, to put men in there. It costs a lot of money to do that. Like, you can't be poor and have a ministry. Somebody said, well, you know, my ministry is to the poor. You better have a lot of money because they're not going to help you. The poor has no money to help you, so you got to go to somebody who's rich like you that can give, Ernie. Praise God. You're going to be traveling up north soon. I'm sending you out there whether you like it or not. Forget that chicken business. I seen him. He sent me a picture with biting into a chicken. 12 o'clock at night. So TV costs money. Ask anybody who operates a TV ministry. Not a whole lot. I've known people who quit the TV ministry because it's just too much. It's stressful. You could take a TV ministry for a month. You see how stressful you are. I'm serious. When I first got it, I felt one day, woke up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I have a TV ministry. They want thousands of dollars a month. How can I do this? Well, we rule it off on God. Everything is relative, right? Some of you just have to give 250 to help me out. Me, I have to believe every day for it. You just have to do it one time a year. Or once a month to give it $20 or whatever it is. But I have to do it every day. Paul talks about the pressures of the ministry and taking care of the church. And that's you know, if you're an apostle or somebody has ministry, you have to think about that every day. You got no time to think about crying. You got to believe God. God wants us to prosper so that we can get the gospel out. Amen? So it talks, you know, like see these lights, they cost money. Those cameras, they cost money, these cameras. All that stuff back there costs money to do that. And you know, to put it out, to edit the television programs, it costs money to edit programs. Put it on a TV program over there, they cost money to put it on the TV, on the television. It costs money for that. So everything, you know, for us to be in poverty, we couldn't do that. Thank God, you know, I thank God, you know, somebody called me up the other day, I thank God for that. They handed me a check for $70,500 to help us with the church, to put it anywhere in the church building. Wow. That's not bad. And so, thank God for, if I were to tell you about what's happening with Spirit Alive, you'd get excited right now because of what's happening to Spirit Alive. Our ministry, I think I told you, I feel myself, my ministry is just starting right now. And somebody wants me to retire right away. I'm just getting started. Hey? Like the Bible says about the Apostle John, right? He said, you know, John, he was so old in ministry, they had to carry him around and open his eyelids to talk, and so he could see people. He's so old. That's what Jesus said. When you're old, people are going to carry you around. When you're very old. He must have been very old when he died. They tried to kill him and they couldn't kill him. The devil's been trying to kill you several times, but you're not dead yet. You look like you've died, but, you know. He doesn't know he's dead. Hey, you're dead, you know. You know, it takes money to send evangelists out. It costs money, you know, to get on a plane, it costs money. You ever notice that? Eh? If you anybody drives your car here, you know, it costs money for a car, right? You know, nobody gives you a car for free. A Dodge dealer is giving out fresh cars this week. And Rez is giving free gas. And a smoke. So it costs money to travel, to send evangelists out. It costs money to send missionaries out. To house them and feed them, not only just preach the gospel, but they eat too. They're like chicken. You know, so they have to have all this stuff to get out there. So it does cost money. So I'm pushing out this point to help you to think about this in a real practical way because it does cost money. People say, oh, you know, I'll give $20. Start thinking about it. God's talking to you more than 20. Some of you have been in this church, hard to give $20 out. No, I'm not looking at anybody because I've never checked your finances. I don't look at how much you're giving ever. I don't go and check you. Okay, well, let's go check his name. He doesn't give that much. I don't do that. But I will from now on. Hey, man, you know, at the end of the year, when you look at your giving, you say, oh, man, I gave that much. Wow, that's a lot of money, man. Could have bought a new Skidoo. So it does cost money to publish books, to train people to have a Bible school. It costs money to travel to do Bible school. So, you know, God wants us to have all that. He wants us to have evangelists. How many people believe in evangelists? Yeah, you believe in the television ministry. It's important. It's important to have missionaries. How many people believe in the missionaries? It costs money to have all this stuff. So all of us, the body of Christ, has to help that to happen. That's right. What's your part? Ask yourself, what is my part there? First of all, the Bible tells you to tithe. 10% of your salary you're giving to give to the church. He said, well, I don't have to, you don't have to give that. You don't have to give 10%. You know, I just give by the Spirit. Looked like the Spirit is pretty cheap. He don't give very much, that Spirit, whoever you're allowing that Spirit to. You better start thinking about it. No. So the dictionary meaning, you know, abundance, Thayer's dictionary, Bible dictionary, Thayer dictionary says this, abundance means exceeding in rank or need. It means over and above. Abundance. It means super added. It means extraordinary. It means excessive. That's what Thayer says about the word abundance. God wants us to have, this morning I went to my closet, and I have suits in there, new suits, like nice suits like this. Eh? They're getting small now. I'm prospering too much. I can't blame my wife for washing these. And so I'm busting out. I got suits in my closet. I give clothes away. I give shoes away. Not old shoes, nice shoes. Give them to myself. I think I'll buy these. So we have to be able to see that. See, the 23rd Psalm, the Bible said Jesus is our shepherd, right? What does he do for us today? Read the Psalms. The sheep symbolizes, the sheep symbolizes full, satisfied bunch of sheep in there. They're laying down beside the green meadows, and they're still waters. They're happy. They're fat little sheep. They're eating all. They're just happy in the middle of the day, the Bible says in that psalm. By the still waters. They're full. Full gospel. And the Bible says that he fills my cup to overflowing. That's Jesus and us. He fills our cup to overflowing. Overflowing. That's Jesus. That's super abundance. Not just... That God is wasteful. Don't you know that feeling? That cup is already full. But it's overflowing and it's falling out, you know, on the ground and everywhere else. That's a picture of Jesus in us. We got to change our mind. God wants us to have abundance so that we can help God and his work. There's people that are sitting at home waiting for someday that they'll have money to go to the ministry. But they're not going to ever have it. Never. They'll never have it. They'll never have that opportunity. Because the devil is going to make sure you always have some kind of need. There'll always be a crisis in your life. Always. There'll always be trouble. There'll always be something to keep you back from giving. And God, once you start giving, God's going to start making you prosper more so that you will have more than enough. You better start learning that. So, at creation, I mentioned God was excessive when he made the universe. Scientists cannot even fathom and study that what the universe is like, how big and vast it is, and how multitude planets are. Like they're discovering planets and everything. Like, that's huge. God is massive. And even they're studying finding in species, new species of creation, like little creatures that they never knew existed before. God is awesome. There's stars that they are identifying. There's certain kinds of stars. God is awesome. And people get upset about it, the fact that that we say, God wants to, he's awesome, he's big, he can provide more. Many kinds of plants, many kinds of animals and flowers and fish and reptiles and different kinds of plantations. There's so much that God is so super abundant in his provision and his creation of things. It shows us how God is. And the devil has come by, successfully lied to the church that he don't want you to have very much. Why? Because he can shut down the gospel. He can shut you down from ever operating and being happy. You know, you're much more effective when you're happy. When you're depressed, sitting in your house, you're no good to yourself and anybody else. God wants you to be happy so that you can get out there. You're not, afraid of anybody. You can just get up and tell people, God is good. Look what he's done in my life. I want to let you know what he did. The devil wants to steal continually. He's being successful at it in some people's life more than others. So we ought to give God, we ought to be giving when God says give, give. He wants us to give so that he gets you started. To show you the abundant life. Luke 6:30 says, give to every man that asks of thee. Somebody comes by asking for something, you should find a way, okay, I'm going to give it. So people can't do that. He said, and of him that takes away that goods, ask them, not again. He said, now listen to this. He said, if somebody takes something from you, don't ask for it, just let them have it. And so why don't people do this? Why don't people give every man when somebody asks? They don't give. Why? Because, some people can do it. They can't do it. Other people can do it quite easily when someone asks for something, even if they don't have very much. How come? It's about faith. That's the only reason why people don't tithe. It's all about faith. That's the only reason why people don't tithe. It's faith. It's a faith thing. It has to be. The church operates by faith in the new covenant. It's not about making you scared, and that, if you don't tithe, God's going to kill you. It makes sickness. No, it's not about that at all. The devil's going to do that anyway, or try it. So God wants to test you. You see if you could try for 10%. There's other people like myself, others, we give more than 10%. We don't just give tithes. And so they can't believe that they can live on 90%. They don't believe that God actually can do that for them. So they don't think that God could provide back for them on time for the next bill. They don't see him as a God of abundance. You know, it's easier to turn your whatever you got loose, like money. It's easy to turn it loose when you know that God can provide back to you in multiplication. It's easy for you. God will give it to you, get it to you when you're easy like to do that. The Bible says, the way you give, like Luke 6:38 says, the way you've been giving is how it's going to come back to you. It's measured back to you how you've been giving. You say, well, how come it's not coming to me as quicker? Have you been giving quick when someone asks you? Or do you take your time? You say, I'll think about it for 6 months. That guy needs it right now. People need you, as we say, one of our teachers said, people need you when they need you. I'll think about it for a while. No, they need you when they need you. So I was thinking about this, a friend of ours I knew was on a mission somewhere to Germany recently. They're going on a journey for sharing our cultural heritage to Germans, and last week, and they found out that they ran into some financial trouble, and it costs more money than they thought. So he put that on himself on Facebook to he needed so much money. So I took it upon myself, and one of the things about Spirit of Life Television, Spirit of Life Ministry, is to encourage our culture and to encourage people and to join with people. It doesn't always have to be that they're giving, preaching about Jesus in that sense, but giving something good out, like Habitat for Humanity, we've given them things. They don't preach Jesus. But we join hands with them in our community to do something good, and we want to be a part of it. We want to say, that church is giving towards that. Amen. We want to know that we care about the needs of people. And so we give into different charity like that that doesn't preach Jesus Christ, but we give them something as part of our giving to our community. We want to give out there. So what I did is I sent that person $200 from Spirit of Life Television. I said, this is from Spirit of Life to help you with what you're doing over there. You know, you could give to causes like Red Cross calls me all the time. Different ones call, So thank God. He said, give to everyone that asks of thee. Everyone. And good shall come back to you. The Bible says, Luke 6:38, good is coming back. Now, I mentioned to you earlier, I don't have time to talk about this. I have to really get on this area. I see some of you already closed down on me. I know I have to understand, you have to understand that Jesus, when he provided that ship Peter's ship with all that fish, he gave him more than enough that he could handle. Peter was given, you know, Jesus asked for his boat, but he was provided, well provided for, every need he needed, you know, more than enough fish to sell later on to make money. God is like that. He will provide you with over and above. So I don't have a time to establish that because I had to put this point across with this idea of our mentality has to change. If there's anything else I talked about this morning, it's about our mentality has to change. About that God is a well provider. Let's go ahead and stand up. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the word of God that you put in our hearts this morning. That we are so blessed to have you as our shepherd. And we want to, this morning, we want to give ourselves to you, Lord, to give our whole lives, that we would be a vessel that you can operate through. Thank you this morning that I want to be that sower that you said to the sower, God will provide seed and he'll provide bread for food. And when I've given, he will multiply my giving. We thank you for that. That provision is mine. Thank you for providing every need. That you're an excessive God. You created all kinds of things. You provided all necessities of life. Thank you, Lord. That the Bible says that you told Simon to launch out into the deep. And some of us here need to launch out into a deep. Just launch out a little bit further than you've been venturing up to your ankles. Go a little further on. God wants you to step out to a new venture with him. And I know that Peter didn't want to venture out. He was afraid, but you said to go out and launch out and cast your net. And Peter said, like we could say, Master, we work so hard to get what little we have, and we've got nothing. But at your word, I'll let down my net. And they enclosed a multitude of fish. Their nets were breaking. They had so much fish that their nets broke, and their sink, the ships were sinking. And they were so amazed of what God did. They filled both ships so much, they had more than enough. Thank you, Lord, for that example of what you can do for us. And you said, fear not, Peter. Fear not, John. Fear not, Jim, Don, Joanne. Fear not. Fear not, I am your provider. Thank you, Father, that you took one boy's lunch. You asked a little boy for his lunch, and you multiplied and fed over 5,000 men and their families and still had more than enough left over, five huge baskets full of bread and fish. You are more than enough. Thank you. You told Peter, get ready, you shall be a fisherman. You're going to use us to spread this message of gospel. We will not see you as a cheap God. And we make this confession of our faith together this morning. God is, everybody say, God is, a cup running over God. According to Psalm 23. According to Luke chapter 5, God is a net-breaking God. He's a ship-breaking God. Ship, sinking. He'll sink your ship with so much. The Bible said he's a God that's more than enough. Said he's a God that's more than enough. See, from your examples of your creation, you are an excessive God. You provide us with all things. You are my shepherd. I will not fear. I will not fear lack any longer. When the devil speaks to me, you need to say, I do not fear lack. I do not fear poverty. Poverty, you are far from me. Jesus broke your back. According to Deuteronomy 28, poverty is a curse of the law. Poverty is a curse. I'm not under the curse. I'm not cursed. But according to Galatians 3:13, Jesus Christ redeemed me from the spirit of poverty. Therefore, I will always have sufficiency. That God will supply every one of my needs according to Philippians 4:19. I will not have any of my needs unmet. And you said in your word, that Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack for one thing. I will not lack for finances or materials whenever I need it. You said in 1 Timothy 6:17, that the Lord, you said in your word, your very own word, that you not only provide our needs, but you provide all things that I might richly enjoy. I want to thank you for providing everything I need that I might enjoy this life. If I want to buy a brand new car, a new suit, or whatever it is, or give a suit out, or whatever it is, you will provide it for me. I'm thanking you in advance right now that things are going to change in my life. I thank you. In the name of Jesus, I will not be afraid of lack. I will not be afraid of poverty, because God is not a poverty God. Thank you. Let's go ahead and praise Him. Father, we praise you in advance because we believe that you will provide for us in everything we need. In the name of Jesus. Whenever I close, I want to ask someone here, if there's somebody in this room right now, in this church service, that you need to come to Jesus Christ and make Him the Lord of your life. You need to do that today. If you're not born again, just say, Jesus, come in my life. But give you that opportunity and confess that in your life. You don't have to do anything else but say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Sometimes we have an altar service, but you can do that right there, wherever you are. And those of you watching my television, you say, thank you, Jesus. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never had the opportunity to ask Him to come in my life, but Jesus, come in my life right now. I believe you're the Savior of the world. You're the Savior of this world. Now you're my Savior. Now I'm born again. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you for my salvation. I am born again. I will tell somebody about it. And I will reach out and help other people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Hallelujah. Remember.